Well, good morning. Thankful we can come together this morning and worship the Lord. Brother Chris will have a prayer for our class, and then we're going to turn it over to Brother Doug. Doug will have our class for us this morning. We're blessed to have Doug and Jill with us this morning. Thankful. And all the people said,
amen.
Amen.
Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Such a beautiful day you have given us, Father. We give thanks. But that beauty will not compare to the beauty of heaven when we see you again. We come before you humbly to offer praise, song, and worship. In thanks for all that we are given. In thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ. As we turn now to our teacher, may his lesson edify us and bring us closer to you. May the lessons we learn implant themselves in us and grow that we may grow as your children and workers. Above all, Father, help us to remember always, you are enough. We thank you for all you've given us, and whatever you will, Father, may it be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. An entire book of the Old Testament is nothing but songs. What book is that?
Psalms.
The songs of many of God's people are recorded for us. Moses and others. The early church spent time in song. Paul and Silas sang while they were in prison. Jesus sang a song with his disciples right before his arrest. We're told by command and by example to sing both as a group and individually. What I want to explore this morning is, why is singing so important? What does it really do? Psalm 147 and 1, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. And we could spend the whole rest of the time just reading all the psalms that are about songs that mention it. Music is uniquely human. Animal sounds that we often call songs are innate, meaning they're born with them. They don't have to learn them. Now, some animals can be trained to alter their noises, but only humans have the ability to truly learn musical variety. The temporal lobes of our brains, which are the parts of our brains involved right by our temples that are involved in sound processing, are much more highly developed than any animal. When you sing, musical vibrations move through you, and it alters your physical and your emotional makeup. Group singing, even more than singing alone. It takes something incredibly personal, a sound that begins inside of you, and shares it with a room full of people. And when it returns to the brain through the ears, it comes back as something even more thrilling than when it left. Believe it or not, singing has a lot of physical benefits for us. Singing strengthens the immune system. According to research conducted at the University of Frankfurt, singing boosts the immune system. The study tested professional choir members' blood before and after an hour-long rehearsal singing Mozart's Requiem. The researchers noticed that in most cases, the amount of proteins in the immune system that function as antibodies, known as immunoglobulin A, were significantly higher immediately after the rehearsal. By the way, this same increase was not observed when choir members simply listened to the music. Singing is considered a physical workout. Even if you're healthy, your lungs get a workout when you sing and vocally project. Singing also stimulates overall circulation. Since you pull in a great amount of oxygen while singing than when doing many other types of exercise, some even believe that singing actually increases your anaerobic capacity and stamina. By pulling in more oxygen, you are increasing the body's ability to function and the brain's ability to think and learn. Singing is a natural antidepressant. Singing is known to release endorphins, the brain's chemical that makes you feel uplifted and happy. Oxytocin, another hormone that's released during singing, has been found to alleviate anxiety and stress. Oxytocin also enhances the feelings of trust and bonding, which may explain why still more studies have found that singing decreases feelings of depression and loneliness. In addition, scientists have identified a tiny organ in the ear called the sacculus, which responds to the frequencies created when singing. The response creates an immediate sense of pleasure, regardless of what the singing sounds like. Not only that, but singing can boost your mood by simply temporarily taking your mind off the anxieties and the stresses of the day. And singing lowers stress levels. Making music in any form is relaxing. Singing releases stored muscle tension and decreases the levels of stress hormone called cortisol in your blood system. If you sing regularly with a group, all of these positive effects are cumulative. The more you sing with others, the greater the benefit. And we just had a long session that had nothing to do with what the Bible tells us about singing. It's all what science tells us about singing. Even more, music and songs have a lasting impact on us. I won't ask for hands because it can feel like it's embarrassing. But how many of you, when you alphabetize things, still are internally singing A, B, C, D, E, F, G? Because we do it. When you hear a song, you're often mentally transported to some place or some time that that song meant something to you the most. When a group sings together, the words of a song are more vividly impressioned and imprinted on their memory. The emotions of the songs are more deeply felt. The message contained in the words is more concretely understood. We think about it more. There is something about the combination of words and melody, even if we do not consider ourselves musical, that makes a lasting impression. These are all things that singing provides for us. I'm just going to open it up for comments for a little bit on what anybody else wants to add to what singing can do in the physical and in the emotional. I have a little bit more, but I just want to see what some of you think.
Something I've noticed, if I either sing or just listen to music, I find myself being more feeling more peaceful.
Okay.
Where I just, like you say, all the worries go away and I can concentrate more on what I'm trying to do. Like if I'm, this might sound silly, but when I do yard work, we're coming into that season where we're going to all be doing lawn work at some point, if we do it ourselves. But one point or other, I usually listen to something while I'm doing that. Music, sometimes I'll listen to a book on tape. But it's something that helps me to be calm and to keep concentrated so I don't wander off and then end up doing something stupid that like it could get myself hurt.
Yeah. Or mowing your flowers or something. Yep.
Taxes our memory.
Okay, it taxes our memory. We're forced to try to remember what the words are, what the melody is. Go ahead.
I'm coming up with my words now. They're not coming. It produces a emotional response if you're for a memory. So like if you, that song reminds you of someone or some instance in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We got one up here.
I think music makes us discern things. We all have a particular thing, a style of music that we like. And I think it also, it just makes us, like Chris said, more calm. When I travel, I usually put in a CD because I've already pre-chosen what I want to listen to. And I can listen to that, and if I turn it onto the radio, it jars me.
Mm-hmm. It prepares our mind for what's coming up. In other words, if I listen to gospel music on Sunday morning, I'm much more prepared when I get here. And if I sing, like on the way with the radio, my voice is a little bit better because I've already woken up. I'm ready to go.
Okay. And go ahead, Paul.
One of the things that I notice is that it reminds me of what God has done for me, what Christ has done for me. It reminds me of the value of the church, the value of getting together and singing together. It's just, it keeps you focused on things that are important. Most of the songs in our book point you in a direction that's good.
Mm-hmm. To get that, these effects, does it have to be what we would consider a complicated, mature song, like something out of the songbook? How many of you remember a verse because you learned it in a VBS sometime as a song? Jesus loves me. Or a story from the Bible, an account from the Bible that you learned as a song, and that reminds you of that account. Not just the things that are in the song, but it reminds you, and then this happened and this happened. You remember other things about that account because the song got you started thinking about it. These things are important. We a lot of times get it in our heads that singing is just something we kind of do to fill time, or because we have songbooks, we paid for them, we might as well use them, right? But there's more to it than that. When God commanded us to sing, there was a reason. There was a reason. And we sing a cappella because we believe that that's what the Bible tells us we're supposed to do, and I think that's correct. But, you know, God always has a reason for the commands that he gives. And he doesn't always explain all of the details. We've just gone through a whole lot of the benefits of singing, that those benefits are not there if you're listening. Now, some of them are a little bit there, but you don't get the full benefit. You don't get the full benefit. I'm gonna let you in on a study. I don't know. For those of you that didn't know, I was a music teacher. So this is something I think about and look at a lot sometimes, probably too much sometimes. But I'm gonna let you in on a study that was done not long ago. I'm talking in the last 5 years, probably. 5 to 10 for sure. Time gets away from me. It was done at Sahlgrenska Academy at the University of Gothenburg in Sweden. Okay? And they studied the heart rates of high school choir members when they sang together. Their findings which we're going to talk about, and that were published in Frontiers in Neuroscience, and confirm that choir music, or singing together, is the way we're thinking about it, has calming effects on the heart, especially, and this is interesting, especially when sung in unison. Parts are beautiful, parts are good, parts are interesting, and parts benefit us because we're thinking. We'll get into that a little bit, maybe in a little bit later. But even in unison, this effect that I'm about to tell you about is even stronger. They used pulse monitors that they attached to the earlobes of the singers. Okay? And the researchers measured the changes in the choir members' heart rates as they sang a Swedish hymn, they all knew the hymn. It was just a very common song to them. And it was in four-part harmony. When the choir began to sing, their heart rates all slowed down. To an individual, they all slowed down. This was one of their conclusions. When you sing the phrases, it's a form of guided breathing. When you're singing, everybody breathes at about the same time. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. But we start getting into a rhythm of breathing about the same time. You exhale while you're singing during the phrases, and then you inhale quickly at the end of the phrase. When you exhale, your heart rate slows down. This is a common biofeedback routine. I learned this when I was in high school and running long distance. We would always do biofeedback. We'd run for a while, and then our coach would have us check our heart rate to see how we were recovering from the run. Well, Doug cheated a little. Because Doug figured out if he took a big deep breath and then released it really slowly, my heartbeat started slowing down. And so I would do that, and my heart rate was always slower than everybody else's because they were doing this trying to catch their breath and their heart rate didn't come down. Well, that's the same thing that happens when we sing. As we're singing, we're letting out air slowly over time. And that naturally, as a biofeedback technique, slows our heart rate. The members of the choir, this is another quote from the study, the members of the choir are synchronizing externally with the melody and the rhythm. And now we see, this is still his quote, now we see it also has an internal counterpart. So what they found was that externally in their breathing, they were all synchronizing together because they were breathing out about the same rate and they were breathing in at the same time. And that had an effect internally. There's a nerve in our system called the vagus nerve. It runs from the brain stem directly to the heart. When you exhale, that nerve slows down your heart rate. I'm sure, as I've been talking about this, some of you have been experimenting with that. In their studies, they monitored the singers' heart rates while they were singing in a group. The singers' heart rates start out just all over the place because they're all doing their own thing. But it doesn't take long once they begin singing for their heart rates to begin to synchronize. And while they're not pulsing exactly the same, they are very definitely moving in a similar rhythm. If you look up the videos of this, it's pretty incredible. Because they have a video of the massive heart monitors, the system that they have, the monitor that's looking at all of them, and the heart rates are just, you know, what you'd expect of a bunch of people standing around with heart monitors on. But as they begin to sing, it doesn't take very long, just a phrase or two. And those pulse rates begin to synchronize. Now, it's not like all the singers are like this all together. But they start to line up. They're very similar. This also seems to correlate with the tempo of the music. If they're singing a slower section of the song, then their heart rates are slower. If they're singing a faster section of the song, the heart rates are faster. And by the way, they tested this with people that were just listening to the music, and the effect was not there. That effect, that coordinated heart rate did not happen. Singers in the group are actively adapting all the physical aspects of the music. The lyrics, the pitches, the rhythm, the phrasing. And that's all synchronizing to the group. Because that is all synchronizing externally, things within their body are also synchronizing internally. This begins to synchronize their breathing, their emotions, even their thoughts. And that influences the more basic functions like heart rate. This study, they keep continuing this study. They aren't done. They're also examining whether this increases their sensitivity to each other, as well as their ability to cooperate even outside the singing. Being in the group singing and this synchronicity that they're experiencing amongst themselves seems to even extend beyond the time that they're together singing. Their coordination, their cooperation, their appreciation for one another, it extends beyond the time that they are together. They believe that this is enhancing the group's ability to connect with each other, to open up with each other, and to respond to each other. Now, I'm going to take another pause because this is probably a thought process that you've not encountered before. What would be the significance of that study on us singing as a group on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights and whenever we get together and sing? Can you think of the importance? Okay? It helps create unity within the church. Did I see another hand? Oh, I thought I did.
I can think of something. It brings us closer to God. Because we sing of his glory and of the things he's done for us, not things we've done ourselves.
Okay, so if we are becoming one as a group, then that oneness is aimed, if you will, at God. The focus of the target is God. Something in the back?
It does that, but it also solidifies us spiritually as a group. When we're singing about heaven, and that's our destination, you know, if you're listening carefully, you can hear the strength in the voices, the commitment of what we're singing about, which is it goes along with what Chris was saying and what you were saying already, but. It brings us together and fortifies us all at the same time.
Good.
Thinking of the emotion that it evolves, particularly songs that are geared toward the coming forward, and how those songs can just sometimes really melt the heart, and which causes a reaction, hopefully an obedience. So that's a great avenue for the song.
Yeah. Do you have something? Oh, okay. You ever? Oh, go ahead.
Sing and make melody in your hearts to the Lord. We're pleasing God as well as hopefully sounding good to Him, helping ourselves and others.
Yeah. We're showing a unification. You ever get that feeling that you're all alone? Ever get that feeling when you're not with the church that, boy, this is beyond me. I just can't do this. And then you remember a time when the church got together, and a lot of times what we remember is the singing. We remember that sense of unification. We remember that sense of unity, and it strengthens us. It emboldens us. We have something else? Oh, okay.
I think when it comes to music, the power of singing, the healing that it can and does do cannot be understated. And the unity that we've been talking about that can tie into that. You never know what anyone in this room is going through in their own minds and their own hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Singing with people, having your heartbeat, as you were talking about, syncing with them. You may be helping someone just by being in the room singing with them, and you don't even know it.
Yeah.
I know there are studies out there that have, you know, supported that data, but the power of music and healing to me, especially in the church, is just, it can't, in my opinion, it cannot be overstated.
Yeah. That, I didn't bring this up, but I will now, just because I think it's germane to what we're talking about. I mentioned that singing by yourself, but especially within a group, it increases your body's production of a hormone called oxytocin. I don't know if you knew this or not, but that oxytocin is commonly referred to as the bonding hormone. It causes individuals to bond together. And there's a lot of different times in your life when that hormone is made in extra amounts in your body. One of the times is when a mother is nursing her child. Right before, it increases right before she gives birth. It increases while she's given birth, and it increases when she's nursing her child. And they believe that that is one of the reasons that we have what we call the mother-child bond. You know, don't get between a mother and her baby. That bond is strong. Stronger than, even though it's strong too, stronger than a father and child. It's a different kind of bond, isn't it? And oxytocin has a part in that. And when we sing together, we're producing extra amounts of oxytocin, which causes us to feel more bonded to those around us, to those that we're interacting with, both during when we're singing and for a time afterwards. Because that's not like those hormones are light switches, you know, now it's on, now it's off. It's on for a while until it dissipates from your system.
I think it's important in the church that we do have different song leaders, because mm-hmm. they choose songs, and sometimes it may be a song we don't even remember hardly that we sang in the past, and it admonishes us today. I see that in so many places where one person decides what songs we sing, and a lot of times congregations try to coordinate what a person's speaking about, and they pick songs accordingly to reinforce what the subject is going to be. But I think it's important to have different song leaders who have different choices of songs, and asking for selections from the congregation, because you see how somebody is thinking at the time, and maybe it influences us. Mm-hmm. But we're all admonishing one another.
Right. So we've looked a little bit at some of the physiological things that singing does for us, some of the emotional things that singing does for us. But singing also requires a variety of skills which are present in both sides of your brain. If you've looked into much of this, you've got a left side of your brain and a right side of your brain, and they both, each side of your brain kind of is a little bit different. Most people are considered, well, let me just see if you know this part. If you're considered a left brain person, typically what are you good at? Creativity, artistic, that type of thing. Spatial organization. If you're a right-brained person, typically what are you good at? Logic and concrete facts, math, history, that type of thing. Okay? Well, singing uses both sides of your brain. It utilizes the language and math centers. You know what? I think I did that backwards. It utilizes the language and math centers of the left side of your brain as long as the emotional creative content of the right side of your brain. I did. I switched those a little bit ago. Sorry. this using both sides of the brain causes an increase in the volume and the activity of something in your brain called the corpus callosum. Anybody know what that is? Okay, the corpus callosum is the bridge between the two halves of your brain. It's how your right brain communicates with your left brain. Okay, it's like a USB cable between two computers. Okay, it's connecting the two halves. And information passes between the two halves. In a lot of things that we do, it's either mostly right-brained or mostly left-brained. And that corpus callosum does not activate as much. Okay? And over time, if you don't use it, then it gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And the smaller it gets, the less information it can send across. Typically, babies and very young children, it's very large. Well, what do you very young children do very easily? Learn things. They learn new things. As we get older, how easy is it for us to learn new things? Not so easy. Not so easy. Because our two halves of our brain are not communicating as well. So this increase, which singing does, increases that corpus callosum and allows information to pass more freely between the two sides and expands to more diverse routes, which leads to better and more creative problem solving. We actually get smarter. We actually get smarter. A guy by the name of Anirudh, I don't know how to spell it, to say his first name, Anirudh, I don't know how to do that. Patel, he's a researcher at Tufts University, said this: song combines music and words. The word production is a left brain activity. The music production is a right brain activity. Perhaps doing lots of singing strengthens the brain networks involved in word production and articulation, in addition to the right hand hemisphere circuits involving the fine motor control of pitch and melody. And I'm not going to bore you with all the statistics, but as a music teacher, We had all kinds of studies over the last 50 years. It's just absolutely not even in question that singing or being involved in playing music even, but singing is what we're talking about right now, uses all parts of your brain. There's lots of different studies. There's a really interesting one that I saw that had an individual going through a brain scan where they were had electrodes attached and were examining what parts of the brains were active. And they had them do some math problems. They had them read a book silently, read a book out loud. They had somebody ask them questions. They did all kinds of different things. And different parts of their brains would light up depending on what activity they were being involved in. When they had them sing, especially when they had them looking at music and singing, not just doing it from memory, looking at music and singing, their whole brain lit up. There was not a part of the brain that was not involved. Memory, problem solving, mathematics, language, all of it. The entire, all the different parts of their brain, all were active at the same time. There hasn't been any research that I've seen or heard that indicates that that happens with any other activity. None. It's the only activity that can activate all parts of your brain at the same time. So Ephesians chapter 5, right? Verse 18. Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all the things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. God tells us, this is what you need to do together. This is good for you. This is something that will help you. Colossians chapter 3, I'll start reading in verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. You see all those tender things we're supposed to do with one another, all those connections? Verse 14. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, to be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. After all those things we looked at, do you see how many things God is telling us that singing together will help us do together? The bonding that it creates, the thinking, the reasoning, the understanding. See, God's telling us what all these studies are telling us in a very short period of time. It turns out you don't even have to be a good singer to reap the rewards of singing. Many studies have demonstrated that the benefits of singing are present no matter the experience or skill level of the singer. According to one 2005 study, group singing, quote, can produce satisfying and therapeutic sensations even when the sound produced by the vocal instrument is of mediocre quality, end quote. We've all been there, right? When the sound coming out of our mouth does not match what we imagine producing in our mind. None of us are great singers. None of us could probably go out on tour someplace and have millions of fans. But that's not the point. God doesn't say, sing if you're good enough to sing. That's not what he says. He tells all of us to sing. God does not command us to sing just because we need time filler in our assembly. It has purpose, both spiritually and physically, both individually and as a group. With the message of our songs, we teach, we encourage, we uplift. With our singing together, we unite, we bond, we become one with each other. We need that most desperately as we navigate a world that is becoming increasingly individualistic and separated. Do not think that the singing is just something we're doing because. God has commanded us to sing. And there's a reason for that command. It unites us. It encourages us. It brings us together in a way that just knowing one another isn't going to do. Think about all of that when we're singing in a little while.